Welcome to the Unbound Healing Podcast. I'm Anne-Marie Garland, nutritional therapist and health coach at Grassfed Salsa. And with me is my co-host, Michelle Hoover, certified nutritional therapy practitioner and writer of everything you'll find at Unbound Wellness. Here we share everything about overcoming health challenges from autoimmunity to hormone imbalance and more, with holistic living, mindset shifts, practical tips, and a real food paleo approach. Remember our disclaimer, the content within this podcast is intended to provide general information and is not to be substituted for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now let's get on with the show. How's it going, Michelle?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We are in the midst of moving and I've already lost my cool multiple times today.
Oh, it's so hard.
It's really stressful. But we are fully moved in. We're just like unpacking and organizing and hanging curtains and painting and everything. So the end is near and soon we will be settled and all will be well.
That's great. I can't wait to see the new place all put together. It's gorgeous. Thanks. I saw it on Instagram stories and it's really gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much. We're really excited to start like personalizing it. So we've already painted a couple rooms and ordered some light fixtures, but we will just continue to do so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So is it my turn for what we're loving?
Yes.
It is. So... Oh man. So I don't know if I chatted about it last week, but if you follow me on Instagram stories, I chatted about it there. I went to an ELO concert this Monday. And so if you don't know who ELO is, they're like a classic rock, like 70s band, like Jeff Lynne, the creator of this band and like the writer of like all these amazing songs. He's like 70. And they're touring the world. So this is no small feat. And it was like such a huge deal for somebody that was born in the 90s, like me, to be able to see like this classic rock 70s band. So my point is that when I saw that this band was playing here, it's like, this is one of my favorite bands. But I looked at the ticket prices and when it was, I was like, oh, it's a Monday night. And nosebleed seats, like for the two of us, it's going to be $200. We're going to have to get downtown and this and that. And I was like, it's too much. It's just too much hassle. It's just not worth it. So I almost didn't go just because I was like, I don't really want to spend the money on it. I don't want to spend the time. But I just convinced myself, this is probably the last opportunity I'm going to have. I'm going to have a ton of fun. Like, I just need to do it. Like, I just need to go. And I did. And I was right. I had the time of my life. I was so happy that I did it. And I'm one of those people that's just constantly living in like the space of what's going to make my life most practical, what is going to make it the most successful and clean, and you know, spend my money the most efficiently. And gosh, we just need to make time to have fun and do like the really cool thing that just doesn't seem very practical or easy or cost effective. And yeah, I'm just loving that I did that. And my Paris trip is a little bit more practical because it's technically a work trip. Like I'm going to learn food photography at a workshop, but still it's a little bit, you know, kind of along the same lines of this is a big deal, but I'm doing it anyway. So I challenge everybody, that thing in your life that you're thinking isn't very time or cost effective or just, oh, that just doesn't seem like something I really want to do right now, but I'm going to go and have the time of my life and have like so much fun. Do the thing.
Yeah. And don't just do it because you're going to have FOMO if you don't do it. Do it if it's actually going to enrich your life. Like this being your favorite band, like, of course you have to go see them. Right.
But yeah.
It's just that like, oh, all my friends are going to go see this band that I don't even know, but I want to spend all my money because otherwise I'll miss out on being with
them. Yeah, I totally agree. I had another thing last night, actually. There was this yoga class I really wanted to go to, and it was that FOMO thing. It wasn't like, this will really enrich my life, but it was a really far yoga studio, and I was like, no, I should go. But then I realized, I'm like, it's just kind of FOMO. Like, it's not really like, it'll really change my life. And then the second that I decided I wasn't going to go, it just started like torrential downpouring, like monsooning out. I was like, that was a good choice. I'm really glad that you made that distinction between just like actually something that's enriching your life and just, oh no, like I need to do this thing. It's like, do you want to do it or do you feel like you need to do it? If you really want to do something, make time for the things that you love. But if it's like comparison trap, FOMO kind of thing, yeah, for sure. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, well, I have a husband and a baby who both have FOMO. I never really experienced it myself. I'm pretty much like, I will choose my sofa and Netflix over anything else. So long as, like, in a cozy robe and slippers. But they're both like, well, Grace is just whatever you have, I need to be right there having the same thing. And James is the same way. Anyway. Okay, let's get on to today's topic. Okay, so today we are piggybacking off of last week and answering some detox questions that we received. We're going to just try to get through as many as we can and not go too deep into specifics on like this only relates to one person. We're instead going to try to hit the questions that seem to relate to quite a few people.
Yeah. And then if you want to know like deeper into anything, we answered a lot last week as well. So. Right.
Yeah, we actually answered from last week some of the questions that we received. So we just kind of cut those out. So if you asked a question and you don't see it on here, listen back because we probably answered it in that first episode. All right. The first question came from Dawn. And Dawn said, I would love to learn more about how to gently detox at home. With MTHFR and several other dirty genes, I don't detox much on my own. Besides Epsom salt baths and sauna sessions, which can get expensive, I'm not sure what else there is. Vigorous exercise isn't always an option either. And real quick, I feel like we should probably note what MTHFR is, just in case somebody's not aware of that. So, and dirty genes, like what that even means. Now, with MTHFR, this is a genetic mutation. And when we say genetic mutation, it sounds really scary. And honestly, it's never a good thing to have a genetic mutation, but it is very, very common. And
yeah. It's like, I think 70% of people.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Mutations. Yeah, we have so many different kinds of genetic mutations.
Right.
Like, yeah, there are, you know, things in our appearance where it's like, yeah.
And so many things. Right. Well, and there are a variety of different, they call them SNPs. It's SNP. I don't actually know what SNP stands for, but there are a variety of different SNPs. So if somebody says, I have a genetic mutation, it doesn't always mean that it's MTHFR. And if you can have other genetic mutations without having MTHFR, but this genetic mutation in particular affects the way that you can detoxify. And that's why it's getting brought up here. There's another one that I feel like is probably really relevant to detoxification in general. And somebody else asked a question about it later. So we'll kind of bring that up as well. But my suggestions for MTHFR now, the hard thing is that everybody is going to respond differently to these types of like therapies to help your body detoxify. For some people, it might be too much. And Dawn is specifically asking for gentle detox. So let's kind of go into that first. My suggestion would just be to try one new thing at a time and try it for about 3 weeks and then adjust. If you're feeling okay after 3 weeks, then try to add in something else that can help supplement and detoxify. And then if you're not feeling good, then maybe you cut back. Maybe you do whatever you were doing every other day or every 3 days. So you just try it and then adjust, and you continually reevaluate all of that. Now, again, you can go back to our last episode to get an idea of different techniques and tools, detoxification tools that you can do. There are some very specific for MTHFR that I think we're going to go into on the next question. Maybe we should go ahead and answer, like read that one next, unless you have anything else to add to Dawn.
No, not that we won't talk about in the next question as
yeah.
well.
I think, okay, so one other thing that I might say is just to make sure, Dawn, that you don't have another genetic mutation, so another SNP in addition to MTHFR, because that's, again, going to affect how you process different supplementation, for example. It's just so individualized, depending on what your genetic profile looks like, is so, so individualized. And that's going to make everybody's supplementation like protocol, it's going to make it, again, very personalized. And so what may work for one person won't work for another because they have another genetic mutation in addition to MTHFR. Make sure that you're not forgetting anything. And then what you can do is go to Stratagene. This is another thing that I've talked about in a previous episode. Stratagene is what will translate your genetic profile. You get, when you sign up to send in your genetic profile to one of these companies, and I will go off on a tangent on these companies here in a little bit, but when you send in your profile, you will be given like a very cryptic looking report back that isn't impossible to read. I mean, people can read them, but I, like the average person, cannot read it and understand what it means. So what a lot of people do is they'll go to something called like geneticgenie.com, I think is free or pretty inexpensive, and you can upload your data that you receive from the genetic company, and they will tell you which SNPs you have. The problem with those is it doesn't give you a lot of information, and I don't know if this was personal error in reading it or if they just completely dropped the ball, but I had one of the other detoxification, in my opinion, detoxification genetic mutations called COMT, and that we have a question on that later, that I was like, oh, I'm good. I don't have the MTHFR mutation. I don't have to worry about anything. And then come to find out like 3 years later, putting it into Stratagene, that there are all these things I can do for COMT. It gives you lifestyle and dietary suggestions and supplementation suggestions for how deal with your genetic mutation. I still think it's only like around $50 for it to read it. So I do.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's really, really helpful.
I didn't know that. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yes.
Those things are, yeah, they're very controversial, but I think that they do a lot of good. Things like that, they helped catch the Golden State Killer.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay. So you just brought that up. This goes into...
It's true.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. Here's the thing that terrifies me now is before 23andMe, that was the primary genetic testing company that I'm sure most of our listeners have heard of at some point in their lives, right?
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that they were just sold to a pharmaceutical company. And I got into a conversation with my husband about this. I'm like, what should be my concerns here? And because he actually didn't ever do it. And his concern was, why are they keeping my genetic data? Why does 23andMe store my data? Mm-hmm. And so he was really hesitant to send it in. And sure enough, they get sold to a pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. Now, this may be a little conspiracy theorist, but who knows what they're going to do with our genetic data down the line. And of course, maybe it's like very cryptic and nobody can hack into it. But they say that people can't hack into a lot of things these days, right? And we're still getting
like... It's not even whether or not people can hack into it. It's like law enforcement for the Golden State Killer. Like they just used it. They just went in there and they put it in there.
Well, exactly. So could they plan, like, again, this sounds really crazy, but could somebody theoretically plant DNA at a crime scene? Right? I mean, They have our genetic data. This is intense. And so, I know it's crazy.
Very far away from the original topic.
No. Okay. But it's not, because my suggestion was to seek out an alternative to 23andMe at this point.
You can go to a doctor. Like, I've never even gotten a 23andMe test done. My brother got it done. My dad got it done. I know I'm related to these people. But I went to, we all look alike. There's no switching at birth. I know. I'm like, okay, they say that they're this percentage Italian and Ukrainian and whatever. Okay, that's probably me. But you can go to a doctor, like your functional medicine doctor. And that's how I got tested for MTHFR and all of these other genes. So you don't have to go through one of these things, and we can nerd out about all of I actually did one of my like final papers in college on 23andMe, and this is years ago. So they've always been controversial. I'm not going to say anything for or against it, but it's always controversial. But if you want to completely skirt that whole conversation, you can just go to the doctor, ask them to run all those tests, and then you can sit and get a far more personalized protocol built for you. Because those things online, it's helpful, and it's really helpful to kind of get a start, and maybe that can help you bring information to your doctor, but you're never going to get as personalized of a protocol with an online tool as you will with a doctor when you sit and you tell them about your lifestyle, you tell them about everything else, they see all your other blood work. So if you want to completely skirt that, you can get these tests from a doctor as well.
Totally.
And a lot of the time it'll be covered by insurance. I'm pretty sure that I was able to use like my HSA card or something when I got tested for MTHFR. So
That's exactly what I wanted to get to, was just to seek out.
You're getting there.
Yes, in a roundabout way, like scaring people not to use it.
Yeah. I was like, let's not scare everybody.
although I will say, not every doctor is going to be like versed in this. They'll be able to run the testing for you, but they may not be able to build a protocol for you. So you have a really great doctor. Just seek one out.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number two, what care and attention needs to be given to detoxing when you have the MTHFR gene mutation? And this is from Laura. So Laura isn't asking specifically for gentle detox. So let's just talk about in general what you can do to help yourself detoxify if you have the MTHFR gene mutation. Do you want to start?
Yeah. So like we said, methylation is one of the main roots of detox. MTHFR impairs that. So some of the supplements that you can take, and this is the kind of thing that I would definitely talk to your doctor about, see how progressed your mutation is, what kind of mutation it is, what other factors you have in place. But I feel like the first time that I went to a doctor, and this is an old doctor, this is somebody that I didn't wind up seeing, is they told me, they're like, yeah, you have MTHFR, and then we moved on from there. Like, there wasn't anything done to address that. So if you've had that experience, these are the kind of things that you can bring up to a doctor. So methylated folate, folic acid is what you'll see in most like prenatal supplements and like those hair, skin, and nail supplements. It'll be folic acid, but that's if you have MTHFR and if you're just like, it's not the usable form.
Yeah, it's a synthetic form.
Yeah, it's synthetic. And if you're putting that in your body when you have MTHFR, like it's just counterproductive. But having folate will help that process, as well as B vitamins are another cofactor in there. Are there any other supplements that I'm missing?
Selenium.
Yeah.
Selenium's really helpful. And just to be clear, I've had people contact me before and they're saying, well, I can't find a methylated folate. And anytime it just says folate, it's going to be the methylated version. So the non-methylated version would be folic acid. However, sometimes a company will put folate on their label and then it'll say like, folate as 5-MTHF and folic acid, which means that a portion of it is still folic acid. So you want to just make sure that it doesn't say folic acid anywhere on there, and then you can be assured that it's the methylated version. And then B vitamins are not that way though. If you can buy B vitamins and you can buy methylated B vitamins. You want to make sure that your B vitamins are methylated.
Yeah.
There is one product, Dr. Amy Myers has a product on her website. I think it's Amy Myers MD is her website, and it's called Methylation Support. And it has, I think all of it has methylated B vitamins, folate, and selenium. So it's kind of a one-stop shop. And then a few other things you could do, you could just add like a really high fiber diet is going to help, drinking extra water. And then a lot of the tips that we talked about in our last episode, Epsom yep. salt baths, saunas, movement, all of that.
And then if you are doing, and this leads us into our next question, if you are doing a detox protocol of some sort with everything, number one with detox is making sure that your detox pathways are open. And that leads us into our next question from Christina. This, and she says, this may seem kind of silly. It's not. It's a good question. But how can you tell if your detox efforts are working? Are there any particular things to look for that are obvious signs that detox is working? For example, I dry brush a couple times a week and obviously it feels great, but how do I know if it's really working from a detox point of view? So first thing I would say is, how do you even know, this isn't as much of the question, but how do you know if your detox pathways are blocked? Like, how do you know if they're even open? These are some things that we talked about in the past. I feel like if the whites of your eyes are a little bit like more yellow, not as white, that is a sign that your detox pathways are blocked. Any sort of like constipation, digestive issues, not sweating, not kind of having like impaired sweat glands, those are all related. So how to tell that your detox efforts are working, knowing that all of those detox pathways are open is the first step. So is your digestion working well? Like, do you know that you have impaired fat digestion? So do you have gallbladder issues? Like when you eat fat, do you feel nauseous or do you find yourself running to the bathroom? Do you have gallbladder pain, gallbladder attacks, any sort of elevated liver enzymes? How many times are you going to the bathroom a day? To me, I tell people, generally speaking, it's got to be like around once a day for you to be like really actually detoxing and for you to not be constipated. Like if it's every other day, once every 3 days or something like that, I'm looking at like, okay, you're kind of constipated. And that constipation, like if you're doing any sort of detox effort, it needs to be passed through. So if that's blocked, that's a good sign that it's not working. And then the ultimate way to really tell with anything is whether or not it's actually working is testing and not guessing. So getting tests from your doctor and seeing like, okay, if you are dealing with any sort of metals or elevated liver enzymes or mold toxicity, something like that, like what is your baseline? Like what are you trying to actually help with? And then testing before and after is always going to be the gold standard for really figuring out if it's working. But if you're just kind of doing like, okay, I'll do some dry brushing, I'll see if this is helping, just support my general detox pathways. If you're not actually, you don't have a heavy metal or any mold toxicity or anything like that, I would say just making sure that your pathways aren't blocked, I think would be, would you agree?
Yeah, there are some signs. This was actually a really popular question. I don't know if you noticed, but this one was liked a bunch more than any of the other questions. So I think a lot of people are wondering the same thing. And just so you know, science has proven the things that Michelle and I are talking about to work. This isn't just like, I'm putting my faith in this, that this is somehow going to help me in the long run. Now, it's all about the time and energy that you put in, but eventually you really will see the benefits to these things. So you don't have to just put blind faith in this. Know that there is science backing these things up. One thing is like some tangible things that you can actually look for though. When you first start detoxing, if you're just starting out really slowly, when you are the average person who does not, well, I guess not the average person. If you're not the average person that doesn't have MTHFR and you detoxify well, then you may notice really quickly just with something as simple as dry skin brushing or sauna sessions or Epsom salt baths that your symptoms are getting worse. So that's really common for them to get worse before they get better. And only time will tell that, only time will tell like what it's going to end up being for you in the end. But just know that if it's getting really, really bad, then slow down, cut back on your frequency of whatever technique you're doing, and different things to look for that it actually is working and getting better would be your skin getting clearer. Like you said, Michelle, the whites of your eyes getting brighter and whiter, having less of a coating on your tongue. So your tongue would look really clear, especially in the mornings, but throughout the day as well. Less mucus, so like post-nasal drip, fewer headaches. All of those are signs that your detoxification is really working. All right, Dawn has a question for the next one. She says, I just recently found out I have high histamines. Should I detox while eating a low histamine diet? Now, I'm not aware of any detoxing issues, special consideration for detoxing while having histamine intolerance. However, most people with histamine intolerance do have other health challenges. So you may want to go slower because it could aggravate your other symptoms. And that really might be the only suggestion I have. Also, try to find out why you have a histamine intolerance. And you can do this just through trial and error, or you can go to a doctor and see what they can test you for. But histamine intolerance is usually going to be sensitivity to histamine due to leaky gut, or it could be genetic in that your DAO enzyme is suppressed, or maybe you're not producing it at all. Finding that out is going to be helpful in knowing like if you really need to go slower at detoxing while you're still intolerant to histamine. And the trial and error of that would just be to find a DAO supplement that you can take prior to eating and see if that helps. And if it doesn't, then it's likely due to leaky gut. Okay.
I think we may only have time for one more.
All right. These, let's go
or any of
for Annika's. I have a really quick answer for Annika's.
Yeah.
Okay. Annika asks how to support detox with the COM-T genetic mutation, which is again what I was talking about earlier. Now, this is a really important one, I think, to know if you have this in addition to MTHFR. It's really, really simple. This one is going to be, it's going to affect how your neurological, like neurotransmitters are detoxified essentially. And so the different things that you can work for through that would be magnesium threonate and magnesium glycinate. Now, not everyone is going to tolerate magnesium glycinate well. I would suggest breaking them up, taking one in the morning, maybe taking magnesium glycinate at night and starting with a very small amount and see how much you can take. You should feel a really great benefit from that, Annika. Do you want to try to answer either of these others?
So Jessica asked, how do block detox pathways relate to inability to digest fats? Is there a connection? There's a huge connection. So one of the main ways that our body detoxes is through our bile, and that is directly related to our ability to digest fats. If we have, viscous or poor quality bile, we are not going to be detoxing as well, because that helps us do detox. So they are directly related. And if you are dealing with poor fat digestion symptoms, I would definitely do some work looking up like, okay, how can I support my gallbladder? How can I support my liver? How can I support my bile? There are supplements that you can take that can help to thin the bile. There are supplements that you can take to help support your liver. If that is burdened, if that is causing some of the problems, one of the biggest things with healthy bile is just having healthy fats as well. Our bile is made up of the fats that we consume. So making sure that we're not getting those seed oils in our diet, making sure that we have like high quality ghee and high quality animal fats. That's something that, you know, I feel like a lot of us can get into a trap and like, what do you cook with? Like, oh, there's just like a olive oil, or like, there's just like a coconut oil that I cook with all the time. It's like, okay, well, where did this stuff come from? How was it processed? Because that's really, we had Dr. Sarah Ballantyne on the podcast, and she agreed that's one of the first places you should start with transitioning your diet, is making sure that you've got some really great healthy fats, because that's so huge. And then digestion is north to south. So the fat digestion process is a little bit later on in the process. So if you are not digesting further north, i.e. if you have reflux, if you have low stomach acid, it's not going to do any favors for your fat digestion. So if you know that you have these issues, it is directly related, and it is something that needs to be looked into further.
Perfect. I think we're good.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yes. We'll get better, guys. I know that was not quite 30 minutes, but we'll get better at being brief.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure out our time.
Fewer tangents from moi. Okay. Meal of the week. Off the top of my head, I can think my meal of the week, we've been eating it a lot since we're moving, is burger bowls. So we make a salad, we make a dressing. Right now, I tolerate mustard really well, which is odd because I don't tolerate seeds very well. So I've been making a mustard mayo dressing, so it tastes really like burgery. And then add a burger on top, pickles. I love Bubby's pickles, and sometimes some sauerkraut. And then whatever else you want. Anyway, it's been really great.
That sounds really good.
I feel like I've done a burger bowl in the past for a meal of the week. So you just get a little refresher from me. Obviously, we eat them frequently.
It's a good one. So it's good advice. Okay. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we are going to be doing our first installment of kind of like our What's Up Lately, where we're going to be talking about things that are going on in our lives that either you guys have requested more information about, that you want to hear about a little bit more, and then just practical advice that we can give you guys on it, practical insight, or things that we just know that you would like to hear about. It's not just me talking about my cat. But yeah, so thank you guys for all of the love and support. As always, we appreciate it more than we can't even begin to describe. And I've just been seeing a lot of people like posting on their Instagram stories and things like that of like, oh, I'm listening to the podcast while I'm doing the dishes or something. And that's just so much fun. And it's hard when you do this like solopreneur thing, because you're just kind of like talking to yourself. Like, I feel like Anna's my only coworker, but we're just talking to each other. So we don't always hear how it affects you guys or how you guys like the podcast. We don't always hear that. So whenever we do, whether it be through Instagram stories, those are really helpful to spread the word, but iTunes reviews are huge as well. So we just appreciate the heck out of it when you guys do it. So thank you, Warm Fuzzies.
Thanks so much, guys. Okay, bye. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Unbound Healing Podcast. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes and leave us a review. Until next time, you can find more from me, Anne, at grassfedsalsa.com, and more from Michelle at unboundwellness.com. We'll see you next week. Bye.